The grace of God is with you. Trusting in God's tender mercy, we open ourselves in honesty to God. God, we recall when we have been in harmony with you or with life, and we give thanks. We recall when we have been out of harmony and we seek your grace. God of mercy, in Christ you have shown us your grace. Dearly beloved, with joy and confidence in the risen Christ, I proclaim to you that with the love that we have seen in Jesus, God loves us deeply, receives us warmly, and forgives all of our sin entirely. We have been set free to live by the Spirit of God alone each moment. So we give God our thanks and our lives. Alleluia.
Let us pray. Loving God, shepherd of our souls, you provide for us, you guide us, you lead us to new life. We turn to you now to listen for your voice. Call to us and lead us out to do your will. In the name and the Spirit of Christ. Amen. A reading from Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image, in the divine image God created them. Male and female, God created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of life. Thanks be to God. Please stand in body or in spirit for the Psalter, Psalm 65. do to you, O God in Zion. To you who hear prayer, all flesh shall come because of their sins. Blessed are those whom you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. By dread deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. Who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples, so that those who dwell at earth's finest bounds are afraid at your signs. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. The pastures of the wilderness drip. The hills gird themselves with joy. Join me as we read responsively from the first letter of John. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. How does God's love abide in someone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? This is God's commandment, that trusting in the love of God's own, Jesus Christ, we will love one another just as God has commanded us.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I lay my life down for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, who doesn't own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. The wolf comes and snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand doesn't care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as my Abba God knows me, and I know God, and I lay my life down for my sheep." There are other sheep that I have that are not of this fold. And I must bring them to myself, and they will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why God loves me, so that I might live, so that I might lay my life down in order to take it up again. Nobody takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it back up again. I have this commandment from God. The gospel of the beloved, Jesus Christ. What a wonderful image of Jesus as the good shepherd. It's a comfort to us to know that we're being shepherded. All that imagery of the 23rd Psalm and Jesus' imagery of God or Jesus guiding us, protecting us, leading us. Sometimes there's a little edge of challenge to that comfort. In the 23rd Psalm, as soon as we say, "You lead me in paths of righteousness," those paths lead through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes God leads us to scary places. But there's still that comfort. There's still that provision, that protection, that presence. Most of the time, we think of ourselves being shepherded by Jesus in a kind of sort of abstract, invisible way. It's in our hearts. Jesus the shepherd is pretty much in our heads. It's not like Jesus is actually physically there ushering us along. But there is a way in which God does literally, physically shepherd us. It's in creation. Creation shepherds us. It's how God guides us and provides for us. You were led to green pastures this morning. You probably didn't think of it. You thought of it as, you know, cereal and milk or wheat or eggs or whatever you have for breakfast. That was the good shepherd of this earth laying down its life for you. Earth shepherds us and gives us nourishment. We think of ourselves as being just solitary individuals. I'm just one person, but that's not actually true. You are not an individual. You are a whole community. We've discovered that there are millions of microbes living inside us. And they help us to digest our food and moderate all sorts of systems that go on in our bodies. And we would die without those. That is creation shepherding us. I think about how well we have been provided for. A couple months ago, I was out in California doing a retreat. And one day I was just stomping around in the tide pools, watching these crabs feed themselves. Usually I just see crabs scuttling. But there was this tide pool with these little crabs, and they were just going at it, just feeding themselves. And I thought, wow, they find food. Well, of course I knew that, but I saw it. You know, you watch sea anemones, these wonderful little creatures who catch something swimming by and get it, and they get to eat. I walk out here in the woods, and I hear a woodpecker out there in the trees, and there's lots of different ones. There's some that just go, and there's some that go, and I think, what an inefficient way to eat, to have to sit there and peck at a tree until you find what? A bug? And you get that one bug, and then you got to go to another branch and start whacking away again, and you find what? But they survive, don't they? Every living thing on this planet keeps finding the food that it needs. That passage from Genesis, God says, "I have given everything, the food that you need." Creation shepherds us, provides for us. We've grown up an entire generation of people who are completely detached from creation, children who don't know what it's like to go outside and play. And we forget that for generations, people navigated by the stars. Creation shepherds us. Even those stars, hundreds of millions of light years away, show us the way to go. How wonderfully we've been provided for, that there's this planet that has just the right tilt, that it has just the right seasons, has just the right temperature range, unlike any other planet in the solar system. Not too hot, not too cold. Even though in New England we like to complain that it's too hot or too cold. That ice floats when it freezes instead of sinking. All these wonderful little things that have provided for life. How well we've been shepherded. Every bite that we eat is God giving us life. Is creation shepherding us. And most of the time, at best, we take it for granted. At worst, we're pretty destructive. We don't just eat from the earth. We kind of ruin it in the process. We pollute. And we degrade and we mess up pretty much wherever we go. Sometimes I see in the earth and our environmental destruction of the earth a pretty clear image of the Good Shepherd laying down their life for the sheep. It's an image of crucifixion. We keep hurting the earth, and you know what? It keeps feeding us anyway. We're brutal with this planet, and it just keeps on providing life. We continue to be shepherded by this good shepherd. Sadly, the wolf that scatters and snatches isn't anything that we can protect ourselves from. Even God can't protect us from that wolf, because the wolf is us. We're the ones who do this snatching and the scattering. We are the ones who are kind of like the hired hand. We're just in it for the money. We're just in it for the food. And we don't care what happens to creation. And I think all of that environmental damage that we're doing is evidence that we are our own consuming wolves. We have all these political and economic interests that lead us to want to pretend that there's no such thing as climate change. And there is such a thing as climate change. But that wolf has scared us off. Well, if that's the bad news, what's the good news? The good news is that we're still being shepherded. And this good shepherd of creation is showing us how to proceed. Creation shows us how to get along, how to cooperate, how to be interdependent. Whether it's human beings learning how to live with creation, or one group of people learning how to live with another group of people. For decades, we've talked about natural selection in our militaristic way as competition. All these species competing with each other for food and air and soil and environment. And the winner gets the spoils. It's the survival of the fittest, as if it's a war. That's wrong. God did not create a war. God created a dance. It's not the survival of the fittest. It's the survival of those who fit. The survival of those who learn how to cooperate. A species that figures out how to adapt lives. And a species that doesn't figure out how to cooperate doesn't survive. Even a species that thinks it's one and conquers its environment creates a monoculture, which is
biologically suicidal. A monoculture, a single species, can't survive. We have to have each other, and only the species that know that they need each other survive. Nature is being our shepherd, showing us how to do this. We need each other. We need to learn from each other and work with each other. And the more we learn from our good shepherd creation, the more we ourselves become good shepherds. Jesus always passes that on to us. There's nothing Jesus has given us that Jesus doesn't want us to pass on to others. So that love that we've received, we give. So that shepherding that we receive, we practice. And the more we do that, the more we discover that we are still part of a dance, not a battle. That there is life to be had. And the more we receive, the more grateful we are. If there's anything we could do on Earth Day that's the most immediate and powerful step, certainly we can go out and pick up some trash. Certainly we can practice a little more recycling and energy conservation and reduce, reuse, recycle. Certainly we can write more letters to Congress and Scott Pruitt, the Environmental Plundering Association, and tell them to take care that we were in the book of Genesis when Adam was put in the garden. Adam was told to till it and keep it. Not use it up. Keep it. Protect it. Well, we can do that. We could be better at that. But maybe the first and most powerful thing we can do is just spend a little time in awe. At lunch today, stop even for a moment and look at that piece of food that you're about to eat. Wonder where it came from. Might have been just up the road. It might have been Peru. Might have been Argentina. Imagine the earth giving us that food. Imagine all of the things that give us life. And be in awe and gratitude. That is the place where we start being good shepherds. So that there really is one flock, one shepherd. Then we know we're really, really alive. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift, the miracle of creation. Fill us with awe and gratitude so that we might be good shepherds in the name and the Spirit of Jesus. God, we thank you for your infinite generosity in creation. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.